Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis in Avodah Zarah. We have a little bit to cover up from the previous Amud, from Yud Aleph, and then we move on to today's daf. Today's daf is a self-contained daf. It starts with a Mishnah, which we're not going to start with today, and then it ends with the Mishnah. So if we're good today, we're going to go from end to end to end. Okay, just a little bit to finish up on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and a little bit of pagan talk. Pagan idolatry. Okay, your guess is better than mine. A little bit of history. Okay, we finished off yesterday by talking about the 70 year pagan festivity that took place in Rome. They took a guy, put him on top of the shoulder of another guy, and they walked through the street, and it was some sort of ceremony, some sort of parade, right? It was, Rashi understood it to be entirely symbolic of the idea that that right now Esav is dominant and Yaakov is subordinate, and 70 years, I gave a shot yesterday, why it necessarily happened once every 70 years. Okay, and then it ended off, right? It had a very awkward ending to it. It was like a strange conclusion to it, and that's where we ended off yesterday. We're in the middle of the Amud. The last word in the line is umisaimiman, and the next word, the first word in the line is ba. Hachi, this is how they would end. Vaila dain kadya kum dain. Woe to us when this one becomes dominant. Meaning, right now we're on top, but woe is the day that they take the top position. All right. In other words, we're living large now, but you know, wait and see. Okay. It is a strange way to end it, but as I suggested yesterday, in the back of their mind, they knew that this was going to be a temporary situation, and every 70 years, historically 70 is not a long number, it's not a long amount of time, historically they knew that this was going to come to an end. Am Ravashi, Hichshon Pilin Rishayim, I Amru Zayfino Achu Damarana, Kidika Amre. Ravashi says, look, even that which they say was Machshel, they stumbled on their own words. If they said that Zayfana Achu Damarana, that the brother was treacherous to our master, meaning to Esav, Kedek Hamri, then fine, that would have been fine. Hasha de Amri de Marana Zayfina Marana Gufei Zayfana Hu. It could very well be understood that our own father was treacherous and somewhat of a trickster. Okay, and fine. Tana Didan my time alokachashav. Okay. Our Mishnah, how come our Mishnah doesn't mention this? Meaning our Mishnah, it's the only Mishnah in Masechta that talks about Yom Dam, talks about their pagan holidays. So one of their pagan holidays is this 70-year ceremony, parade, whatever you want to call it. How come our Mishnah doesn't talk about it? So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. My time lo kachashiv la, lahai di isa b'choshas v'shasa kachashiv, the leisa b'choshas v'shasa lo kachashiv. And the answer is very simple. It's not annual. Our Mishnah only is counting the annual pagan holidays. This is not an annual pagan holiday, therefore it's not counted. Okay. Hani Deramai. Our Mishnah in Avodah Zarah talks about the Roman pagan holidays, and that's it. But there are other pagan religions out there. What about the Persians? Okay, what are some of the Persian pagan holidays? Now, in respect to the fact that we have Persians here in this room, they're not Persians, they're Jews. They just happen to be from Persia. So, maybe you'll recognize this, and I know any pronunciation that I give is going to be so far off the mark. So the Gemara gives us a list of Persian pagan holidays. Mutradi, Torsiki, Mohornaki, Moarin, Hani de Parsai. Okay, those are Persian pagan holidays. What about Romans living out in Bavel? Okay, we are really on the cultural geographical map, we're all over the place. Okay, so the Romans living in Bavel, what about their pagan holidays? So my Mahornaki, Vaaknitai, Bechanuni, the Eser Ba'adar, and the 10th day of Adar. Okay. Where did that come from? What's that? I don't know. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista Amar Rav Amri La Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Amri Rav Chamisha Batei Avodas Kochavim Kvum Hain Elu Hain. There are five constant houses of idolatry, right? And they are Bais Baal BeBavel. So and they're And Rashi points out that the significance over here is that in these particular towns, every day was a pagan festivity. And so therefore, in these towns, you couldn't do business with these people all year round. Ever. Right? Beis Baal in Bavel, Beis Navo b'Korsi, Tartashe b'Pambag, Srifi b'Ashkelon, and Nashra, which is in Arabia. Okay? Saudi Arabia, I would assume. All right, Arabia comes up a number of times in the Gemara.
This is not the Ashkelon. This is in Bavel.
This is all over the place. No, we are all over the place. These five places, look, I don't know where all of them are.
Ashkelon.
But one of them is in Bavel. Ashkelon is in Israel.
Okay.
Arabia is, I assume, Saudi Arabia. It's all over the all over the Mideast. Ki asra avdimi osifu alem yirisha ba'ayin. Ravdimi added one more. There was some sort of market in the town of Ayin. Bechi Nadvacha Sheba Akko, and another one in the town of Akko. Igadam and Nisbara Sheba Akko. Some have the version. It's Nisbara, the town Nisbara in Akko. Ravdini Munaradai Masni Ibcha Yerisheba Akko Nadvacha Sheba Ayin. Another version of where exactly it is. Right, Bachi Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista le Rav Chista, Mike Vuin Hain. What does that mean? They're kavua, right? We said that wherever these places are, wherever these towns are, they're kavua. Amar le Hachi Amar Avua di Imech Vuin Hain la Olam Tadira Kula Shalste Pachaluhu. All year long, they worship their idolatry in these towns, and consequently, that would mean that you can't do business with any of the people in this town year round. It is Yom Idam all year round. Amr Shmuel Begola Ino Asa Ela Yom Idam Bavad. Shmuel makes a statement. This is not the first time we've seen Shmuel make the statement. This statement come up already earlier in the Masechta. In Gola, in the diaspora, we don't follow this 3 days before their Yontif. Only on the day of their Yontif itself, then and only then, is it going to be prohibited, but not the 3 days before. Rashi earlier explained Shmuel to mean that they're just not that frum out in the diaspora, meaning that in Israel they had their pagan holidays and they were so religious about their pagan holidays that even 3 days before any business venture that they went into, along comes their holiday and they attach their good fortune with their pagan gods.
More intense.
Right, it's just more intense in the diaspora. Maybe the Yom Eid, maybe the day itself, but not the 3 days before. So the Gemara points out that on a episodic nature, right, on an anecdotal nature, we find that the Amoraim were Mekel. They allowed commerce to take place on the Yom Eid itself. So the Gemara says, so how does that happen? Shani Chagasa, Detaya, Delokvi, the Gemara says that's not Kavua. It doesn't happen. In other words, it's not a real pagan festivity. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. It doesn't happen annually, and therefore we can't call that a Yom Eid. Period. Okay, Adkan. Before we move on to the next Mishnah, there is one important Rashi, which is really striking, and I spoke about this in the very beginning of the Masechta, and I guess we'll just add one more point to that based on this one little Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Begola, ein anu yecholim." Rashi is third line, before the lines become wide. Ein anu yecholim nahamin atzmeno melisa velitani mahem shebeinehem anu yoshim uparnasaseno mehem. Right? In other words, Rashi has to explain Shmuel, correct? Shmuel's saying, here in the diaspora, we don't worry about the 3 days. Well, why not? Meaning, isn't it a rabbinic prohibition that you're not allowed to engage in commerce 3 days before their pagan holidays? And what is Shmuel saying? We know what Shmuel's saying. How can he say that? Right? That's what Rashi's trying to struggle with. Because at no point does the Gemara offer any type of rationalization to Shmuel saying, don't worry about those 3 days. What do you mean don't worry about those 3 days? It's out there. So that's what Rashi is saying. So again, let's just go over that Rashi. It's impossible. I mean, that's essentially what Rashi is saying. In explanation of Shmuel, it's impossible. Ein anu yecholim lahamid atzmenu milisa v'litana mehem shebeinehem anu yoshim or parnasenu senu mehem. Like in other words, we cannot exist without their business. And so consequently, we can't do it. In other words, we can't live here with this three-day prohibition. Okay? I need to come to some sort of better understanding of what Rashi is saying. Meaning for those 3 days, we couldn't function? The answer, according to Rashi, is obviously that's correct. We could not function without those 3 days of business. Right? It's impossible. And Rashi then gives another explanation, Mishum Yira, because of fear. Maybe Yira over here is the same as Eva, I'm suggesting. Just like Tos was talked about on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that because of Eva, because of the animosity that exists between us and them, so therefore there's a certain leniency that we have. So maybe also over here, Rashi Yira me here means the same thing. Maybe it means Eva. Maybe it means that it just will create too much animosity between us and them. Okay, it's an interesting Rashi. Definitely needs better understanding. But I know where Rashi is coming from because he's explaining Shmuel, which the Gemara doesn't do. How can Shmuel just simply disregard the 3 days before their pagan holiday? Okay. We start the new Mishnah now, and today's a self-contained discussion. A lot of interesting things are coming up over here. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is the Maris Ayin daf, right? There's a couple of dafim throughout Shas that talk about the issue of Maris Ayin, and today is one of those dafs, one of those very basic dafim that talk about the issue of Maris Ayin. But before we get to that, let's start the Mishnah. Ir sheishba avodas kochavim chutz la'motar. If let's say you have a city that is over to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so the city has a Yom Eid, they have their pagan holiday, but pagan holiday exclusive to that particular city. Can I go outside the city and do business with the suburbs around the city? Okay, so let's say they decided that New York City is going to become, they're going to have a pagan holiday in New York City on one day. Okay, and so let's say, okay, so I'm not going to go to New York City, I'll go to the suburbs. Okay, can I do business in the suburbs? So the Mishnah says, yeah, that's not a problem. Meaning that only in the city itself is it prohibited. Outside the city, it's fine. Let's say, let's reverse. Let's say the suburbs, there was Avodah Zarah, Tochel HaMutter. So then you can go into the city and do business on the city itself. Okay, good. Mahu Leilech L'Sham What about traveling down on a road to that city on the pagan holiday? If, says the Mishnah, the road only goes to that city, then you can't travel down that road. Rashi over here on the Mishnah writes, the reason why is because Rashi continues to write, looks like you're going there to worship idolatry. You're not doing that. You're not going down this road to worship idolatry. But Rashi says the issue over here is an issue of chashad. It looks like it, and as I pointed out, this is going to segue into the discussion of Maris Ayin. We'll talk about this later on this morning. We'll come back. The Imhaya, back to the Mishnah. Imhaya chola alech bala makom acher mutar. If, however, this road goes elsewhere, not just to the city that's being over to Avodah Zarah, then you can go down this road, because then people will say he's not going to the city. He must be going somewhere else. This road leads elsewhere as well. Okay, we'll come back to that last point of the Mishnah. We'll discuss that later on this morning. In the meantime, however, we're talking about a city and its suburb. And the Mishnah made it very clear. If a city is worshipping idolatry, so you obviously can't do business in the city, but outside the city, a suburb is fine. And conversely, the opposite would be true. In the suburb, they're doing their idolatry, and so the Issur is only with the suburb, but not with the city. So what the Gemara is going to try to figure out is what kind of proximity are we talking about between suburb and city. Now, we're going to be hampered over here because we don't really know what the Gemara is talking about. Well, the Gemara is going to talk about Aza and the suburb outside of Aza, but you know, we just historically, I'll speak in first person, I don't know how close they are in proximity, so it's going to be kind of tough because we just don't know. We're talking about the butcher that's right outside the city of Aza. Right, Aluza is a butcher, is a some sort of, right, Rashi says that we find in Bukhara, the word Itlas refers to some sort of marketplace, butcher marketplace, that's outside the city of Aza. Aza, says Rashi, Irsha Plishtim Vahayu Bavarz Kochavim. Right, it's a Philistine city, the city of Aza. There was idolatry taking place over there. And Rashi writes, Vayachutzala Yishuv Samach Li'ir Ma'od. There was a city that was really close in proximity. And so, in Aza, on the Philistine pagan holiday, for sure you can't do business. That's obvious. But the city that's right outside, this Itlas that's right outside, that's fine. Even on the Yom Eid, that would be fine. That's what Rabbi Hanina is saying. Now, back to the Gemara. Ika da'amri. Now, that's the first version of the Gemara. The Gemara punctuates itself with a very... The first version is very clear, very straightforward. The Ika da'amri ba'am min Rishimah Malakish me Rabbi Hanina. Aluza shal azamahu. The second version has it... What's the story? What's the story with Aluza shal Aza? This butcher that's right outside of Aza. Amar lei, so here now in this next version, Rabbi Hanina doesn't give a straight answer. He gives somewhat of a, you know, answer with a question. Or as we would like to say, the typical Jewish response. Mahu. Amar lei lo halachta letzur miyamecha. You never went to the town of Tzur, v'reiti Yisrael v'ovikachavim, sheshavtu shtei kederes agabi kira. And they had the following practice out in the town of Tzur, where you would have communal ovens. In the good old days, not everyone had an oven in their own house. That's modern. That's exciting. But they had a communal oven where everybody would go to the local oven, and when they wanted to bake or cook or whatever, so they would put their pots on the communal oven. Now, their ovens were not as sophisticated as ours. Shabbos mode, nothing like that. Their ovens were basically a box, right? Not made out of cardboard, but a box shape. And the coals were placed inside, and you can either put a grating on the top, put an oven, put a pot on the grating, or you could put the oven inside the box directly on top of the coals. This is what's called a kira, right? Third parak of Shabbos, we discussed the kira at length, right? Yep. So here in the communal, in this communal oven, so what would happen is that a Jew and a non-Jew would place their pots one right alongside the other, and that's fine. Okay? Now that sounds like, right, if you asked, you know, Jew on the street, is that okay? The Jew would be like, no. What? No. But, right, we're learning the Gemara now. The Gemara says it's fine. It's totally fine. And v'lo chashu lahem chachamim, the chachamim had no problem with that whatsoever. Period. Okay?
Interior?
I'm not sure. Rashi says, al-gabi kira. Right, right.
Might that be because we're
so right? So we're gonna the Gemara's gonna, okay.
Even on the
right now, let's just leave it because the Gemara is gonna analyze a lot of what was it is. But let's just go over now. Let's just follow the structure of the Gemara. The question to Rabbi Hanina was not a kashrus question. It was a question of, can I do business with the suburbs when the city is worshipping Avodah Zarah, right? And his answer was a backhanded answer. Well, if you go to the town of Tzur, you'll see the Jew and the non-Jew put their pots right along one side, alongside one another, and it's fine. Okay.
As long as it's a holiday or something.
Well, no. His answer has nothing to do with pagan holiday. His answer was, I'll show you another area in Halacha where side by side is fine, even though one is us and one's mutter. Here also, side by side is fine, right? Even though I can't go into the town itself and do business with the city that day because they're doing their pagan holiday that day, but the proximate city is fine. Okay, so now that's the give and take. So it's a funny give and take. I mean, he's not answering the question directly, obviously. And here now, the Gemara is not going to go with one, not two, but three different variations of what exactly was his response. Okay? And essentially, what's going to come out from this Gemara is, what concern did you have with the two pots sitting side by side with one another? And consequently, what was Rabbi Hanina saying in the parallel case of the pagan city right next to the non-pagan city. Okay? I hope I'm making this clear. It's a question now of what was the issue regarding the two pots side by side, and then let's translate that into our case of the one city next to the other city.
We can go to the market.
Three different versions of how that discussion went. Yeah. It's okay. I don't bother. Amar Abaye. Mishum, My lo chashalem chachamim. So here we go, number one. Amar Abaye Mishum Basan Nevela lo Amrina and Dilma Mahadar Ape Yisrael Achore Vishadi Ove Kocham Nevela Bekadera. So here's what we're not concerned about. Let's start off with the two pots. Right? Here you have, right, we're going to the communal oven. I see the non-Jew has his food cooking. Obviously, it's not kosher. Doesn't have to be. He's not Jewish. And I'm going to put my pot right alongside. And I want to cook kosher food. Now, let's assume we're talking about meat. Right? Let's turn this into a real kosher versus non-kosher discussion. So Abaye says, you know what I'm not worried about? I'm not worried about me turning my back. Right? Literally, that's what the words mean. Dilma mahadar apei yisrael achal, right? I turn my back away for a moment. And what he's going to do is he's going to take some meat from his pot and throw it into my pot. I'm not worried about that. Okay? Now, Tosfos over here writes for no reason we're ever going to suspect a non-Jew is going to do that. Meaning, we don't assign such devious motivation to a non-Jew where just because he wants to eat not kosher, like, we don't assume that. Yeah, you know, that's great. That's a great point. Rabbi Brody's point is that there's, in general, we have an issue of basar shen asalim in ha'ayim, which means that if meat is not in my view, so that meat becomes rabbinically forbidden. It's the Gemara in Chulin, right? And the Gemara over here does not address that issue. Okay? Rishonim do, but not Rishonim on the daf. I saw in my notes, I saw other Rishonim talk about it.
Is it not that this is covered, like a covered container, or
let's assume the compots aren't... You're already talking about the splashing and the splattering. Okay, later this morning.
Doesn't the Gemara occasionally say, oh, Bereshi Askinah? To do that for no...
Correct. Tosos writes. It's the second Tosos on the page. He writes, we're not going to assume that. No. The only concern that we may have is that our meat is of a good quality, their meat is of a lousy quality, and they're looking at the meat in our pot, they're like, oh, that looks really good. Right? And so what Rabbi Hanina is saying is, don't worry even in that case. Like, don't, even if there is some small gain for the non-Jew to switch the meats around, we don't have to worry. Good. Now, let's translate that into our scenario. Now you understand that what Rabbi Hanin is talking about is like real non-kosher, and I say real, I mean like an Issa d'Araisa right next to your food, which is fine. Now, we have to translate that into the two cities. Now, from the very beginning of this Masechta up until this very point in time, what are we even talking about? Not doing business with them on the Yom Eid. As a rabbinic safeguard, because if I do business with them on the Yom Eid, then there's that good chance that they're going to go back and they're going to say, oh, thank God, lowercase g. Right? Right? And up until now, we've been talking about a rabbinic safeguard. Even on the Yom Eid itself, it's still only a Nisa d'Rabbanan. What we have to figure now is, according to Abaye, where's the Issa d'Araisa? Because in the model case, in the parallel case, he's talking about kosher right next to non-kosher. And we're not worried about him taking his non-kosher meat and throwing it right into the kosher pot. So, let's go back to the Gemara. We're not worried about Demei Avodas Kochavim. Rashi writes over here, what does that mean, Demei Avodas Kochavim? Meaning that if you provide, let's say, the animal for their Avodah Zarah, right? Let's say you hand them an animal and they buy it and they say to you, this animal that I'm buying from you is Avodah Zarah. That money that you hold in your hand, that's an Issa d'Araisa. That's, and what is that, says Rashi? Lo yidbak Right, you're not allowed to have not only the takrovas of avodah zarah, but the money used in exchange for the animal for idolatry. Okay,
and that's assuming that you're there direct in that transaction, whereas the other transaction is very indirect. I mean, there's a city near a city.
So, but I'm just explaining to you why Rashi's doing this, because Rashi is saying, how are the case of the city and suburb parallel to the case of the kosher pot and non-kosher pot? And so what the way Rashi's setting it up, it goes like this. Look, the non-kosher pot is really not kosher. Like, in other words, it's nevela. It's really not kosher meat in there. And meanwhile, what the Chachamim out in Tzur were saying is, you want to take your kosher pot right next to it, that's fine. That's not a problem. And I'm not worried that he's going to take his non-kosher meat and put it in your pot. Similarly, now let's move to the case of the two cities. Similarly, in the case of the two cities, I am not worried if I went into the city. How is that not kosher meat? How is that analogous? Says Rashi, because if I provide them an actual animal for idolatry, the money is Isser D'Oraisa. That's Lo Yidbak Ma'uma Min Acherim. That's Isser D'Oraisa. But if I go out to the suburb, which is right next door, it's fine. I'm not worried at all. Okay? That is Abayi's understanding of Rabbi Chanina.
So the people they were really doing business with in the market were not doing the idolatry, so they're... That
right, and even though they're proximate to the city, not worried at all. That's number one.
Yeah.
Anyone.
If the money is usher, then what if it goes from one non-Jew to another non-Jew, and we're not worried that it's going to get done to that Jew?
Does there ever come a point in time where the money gets laundered? I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean like literally. It's a fair question. I don't know.
How do you do anything?
Right. Assuming your question is correct, it's not a bad question. I just don't know. I'm not sure. All right, moving on, number two. Rava Amar, we are now, Rava's understanding. So again, all this comes out of the fact that Rabbi Chanina is not giving a straight answer to the question. He's saying, well, it's the same thing like the two pots. So again, what are we worried about when it comes to the two pots? So, Rava Amar, Milo Chashlam Chachamim, Mishum Bishulei Ovdi Kochavim. We're not worried about Bishul Akam. We're going to get to, later on, in the Lamedz, end of the Lamedz, right? Second Perek? Yeah. At the end of the Lamedz, we're going to talk about the Yisr of Bishul Akam. You can't have a non-Jew cook for you, right? It's rabbinically forbidden, right? Why is it rabbinically forbidden? So there are two explanations over there. We'll see it. One is because of intermarriage, and the other one is because they may slip in some non-kosher food, but it's a rabbinic prohibition, right? That you're not allowed to have them, cook for you. So over here, Mishum Bishul Avdu Kochavim, the concern out in Tzur is not that he's going to slip his non-kosher meat into your pot. That's not even a concern. The concern is that it's an oven. He heated up the oven. You know what he may do? He may say, oh, you know what? Let me have that pot. And he takes your pot and he puts it on the fire. That's rabbinically prohibited. Like, you can't have the non-Jew do that for you. Okay, we will talk later on in the Masechta about Bishul Akam. Avodah Zarah is the place where we talk about Bishul Akam. So later on, I'll go through more details of this halacha. But that's a concern. That's only a rabbinic concern, not a biblical concern. Now let's translate. How does that apply to our two cities, city and suburb? Hachanami lo chashalem chachamim mishum yom idam. We're not worried about Yom Eid, meaning that there's a rabbinic prohibition not to do transactions with a non-Jew on Yom Eid. Not giving them their takrovis, just simply not doing business with them. It's rabbinically prohibited because they're going to go back on their festivity and they're going to say, oh, thank God, right? Thank my deity, look what just happened to me. That is how it translates. In the city, Yom Eid is prohibited. In the suburb, Yom Eid would be fine. Okay? And then there's number three. Rabba Barbar Ula Amar Lo Chashlam Chachamim Mishum Sinura. You know what we're not worried about? We're not worried about splattering. We're not worried about splashing. Okay? When things boil, so it splatters. Don't worry about it. That's what we're not worried about when the two pots are next to one another. Now, it's interesting. The way Rashi sets it up, this is like, as concerns go, the least of our concerns. Meaning that this is less of a concern than Bishul Akam. It's less than a concern than him taking food and putting it in your pot. This is a really, like, this is like miles. Rashi says, right, let me just present first. Rashi says there are two reasons why this is such a chashash rachot. This is such a minor concern. Number one, Rashi says it's unlikely this will happen to begin with. Where is Rashi? Rashi's towards the bottom of the page. Howel, second wide line as you look down on Rashi. Number one, hol the iser kalhu chada delosh chiyach. Rashi writes, number one, it's not going to happen. Probability wise, it's not going to happen. Ve'odi namish chiyach bata beruba. And even if it does happen, right, a splash of non-kosher food going into the kosher food, most likely it's going to be batal. Now Rashi, by the way, Rashi writes batal beruba, right? If we spend more time on the Rashi, I don't know why he uses the word rov, right? It should be batal b'shishim over here. Okay. It's right because it's min b'mino and min d'araisa, batal beruv works. Okay, maybe that's the... Okay. Now, you understand why Rashi says it's such a distant concern? Because over here, according to Rabbi Baruch Hanan, what was his answer? His answer, going back to Rabbi Hanina, is like in the case of the two pots when they're side by side. I'm not worried because chashash rachok, because it's so, what's the chance of a splattering? And even if it does splatter, batal beruv, batal b'shishim. Here also, I'm not worried about a mild concern. What's a mild concern? Not the Yom Eid. On the actual pagan holiday itself, you know what? I'm going to be concerned. Even in the suburb. Because, you know, maybe somebody from the city went out to the suburb. No, there's a real concern. Lifnei Idehem. Only on the 3 days before their festivity. Well, what are we talking about now? It's not even the festival. It's 3 days before. And now someone in the city goes out to the suburb and does a business transaction and then is going to go back into a city and remember, oh, you know what happened 2 days ago? That's such a minor concern. That's like the splattering. Okay? Comes out, and Rashi makes this point very clear, comes out that if you are, let's say, the last one, Rabba Barba Ula, so your interpretation, Rabbi Hanina, is the most conservative interpretation. Meaning that on the Yom Eid itself, yeah, you should actually be concerned. If you're actually selling Takrovis, yeah, you should be concerned. The only thing you're not concerned about is only the 3 days beforehand. Okay. Next, moving on. Amar Maulei Lech Lasham. Okay, from this point forward in the Gemara, it is all Maris Ayin. Tanu Rabbani Yishe Yishbar Vodas Kochavim Asali Kansla Socha V'lo Misocha Le'eracheres Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that on the Yom Eid, traffic is prohibited. You can't travel to the city, back from the city. Just the traveling is Asur because of Maris Ayin. V'chachamim Omrim Kolz Man She'aderech Miyicheles Lo'os Amakam Asur Ein Aderech Miyicheles Lo'os Amakam Motar. V'chachamim say, essentially I agree, but I'm only going to say it's usur if the road traveled is only one exit to that city. However, if the road has forks and other and turns and it could lead somewhere else, then it's okay. But if that road is a single road to get to that particular town, so then it's going to be usur because of Maris Ayin. The Brisa then goes on to say, what if you have a splinter in your foot and you're standing right in front of Avodah Zarah, right? There's an idol right facing you. Now you are desperately wanting to bend down and take the little splinter out of your foot, but you're standing right in front of an idol, and if you do that, it looks like you're bowing down to the idol. So the Brisa says you can't do it. Then the Brisa says v'eino nira, which we think right now means if nobody sees you, so then it's okay. But as we will clarify later on, that's not the pshat in the Braisa, because we know Maris Ayin is prohibited even if nobody sees you. Okay, we'll come back to that point a little bit later on. Similarly, you drop money in front of Avodah Zarah. Okay, I know there are a lot of Jewish jokes that you can insert in here. Let's skip over them. And you are now, and you want to bend over and pick up all that money, but you're right in front of Avodah Zarah, So marasayin, then you can't do it. V'im eino nira mutter. However, once again, the simple pshat in the brayse is, if nobody sees you, it's okay. But again, that's not the accepted pshat. Later on, we'll make that point again. Okay. Mayan hamoshech lifnei avodas kochavim lo yishkev yishtem imnation erikim mishachav avodas kochavim v'im eino nira mutter. A third example, again, the brayse now is starting to sound repetitive. Later on, the Gemara is going to make that point as well. And the brayse goes on to say, what if there's water, right, spring, going right in front of the Avodah Zarah, and for you to drink, you have to bend down in front of the Avodah Zarah to drink. You can't do that because it's marasayin. Looks like you're bound down to Avodah Zarah. Paritsufos ha-mekalcha mayim lekrachim. Right? You'll see... Right, these fancy statues where the water comes right out of their mouth, and you're thirsty and you want to drink, lo yaniach piv al pihem. Just the imagery is fantastic. Don't put your mouth on the mouth of the statue. Oh, but you just want to drink. But again, if you took a snapshot of that and you right, we all have the same picture in our mind. It's fantastic. And you took a snapshot of that. So v'yishtem imnei shenira kemenashek la'avodas kochavim, because think of what it looks like. You're kissing an idol. Okay, good. Kayot v'bolo yenich piva al silon v'yishtem imnei asakana. And this last part of the braisa has nothing to do with idolatry. Don't drink from the sewer. Right? Silon, some sort of sewage system that they have. Mimnei asakana, because you don't know what's going on over there in the sewer. And you may drink something that you really had no interest in drinking. Okay, now.
Drain and sewer.
Huh?
It might be drain.
It could be a drain also. My eino nira. Now, the Gemara now picks apart the Braisa as it traditionally does. The Braisa says eino nira. What does that mean? Ile madala mitchazei. What does that mean? People don't see you? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Kol makom she'asru chachamim. Mimnei maris ha'ayin afilu b'chadre chadar maser. The Gemara says this a number of places throughout Shas. Maris ayin is usur, whether you can be seen or whether you cannot be seen. Doesn't matter. In other words, there's a rabbinic prohibition that you're not allowed to look like you're doing an isur in the Torah, and whether or not you can or cannot be seen doesn't matter. Now, it could be that, look.
Potential, but not. Correct.
In other words, even though you think nobody sees you, but the whole point of Maris ayin is somebody may see you. So there's never that scenario where, oh, don't worry, nobody sees me, right? Because you know, simply don't know.
That could be like maybe Beit Shammai would have a different.
Happens to be. I don't want to present all the information right now, but happens to be that this part of the Gemara is subject to a machlokas. But that's why if you look at the Baam Tosos over here, Tosos says this is the accepted halacha because it is subject to a machlokas. But again, I'm just going to present the Gemara on its. On the simplest level. Ela ema eino nira kemishachav avos kochavim mutter. Now, eino nira means that if somehow it doesn't look like you're bowing down to Avodah Zarah. Right, Rashi gives this scenario, shepona acharav, otsido lefsad avodas kochavim. Right, let's say your back is turned to the idol. In other words, so all you have to do is just simply, instead of facing the idol, if there's a way where you can now have your back face the Avodah Zarah and then bow down, that would be fine. Bowing to an idol is only also when you're directly facing the idol and bowing directly to the idol. Good. Next. Utsricha. Now the Gemara is just bothered by the redundancy of the Braisa. The Braisa gives the example of dropping money in front, having a drink in front. Well, there was a third example also. A splinter on your foot that you want to get out, right? It sounds like we're saying it over and over again, just using different examples. Utsricha. All these examples are necessary. When it comes to the foot, you can just simply walk by the Avodah Zarah. Okay? Money, you don't have that option. Right? The money just stays there. The splinter walks with you. So by the splinter, you have the option of just simply walking by. But by money, you didn't have the option. So if all I had was a splinter case, well, I would think, okay, I know why, because there's another way for me to get out of it. But by the money, I can't. I gotta bend down, pick up the money.
You're
right, but I just, in my mind, I would have thought to make a distinction. That's why the Braisa has to spell it out. The itana mos de mamona va kotz de tzara im alo. Now, what if I went the other way? Well, money is money, but kotz, well, that's just pain, just pain. The itana hani tarti mishum daleka sakana. Ava mayan di ika sakana di iloshasi mayas. Okay, that this is a heavy line of Gemara coming up over here. The Gemara says, look, in the case of the splinter, that's just pain. In the case of money, that's just money. Right? Money, pain, fine. Those will come, those will go. But what if I'm really thirsty, and not just really thirsty, but like, right, I'm looking at a possible sakana. When the Gemara uses the word sakana, the Gemara means I'm in mortal danger. And if I don't drink from the idol, so I'm going to die, I might have thought, listen carefully, because this is heavy. I might have thought that I would be allowed to drink from in front of the Avodah Zarah, Kamash Malan. The Chiddush is I can't. Now think about this. What the Gemara seems to be saying pretty clearly is that even though my life is in mortal danger, and I'm not bowing to the idol, I'm just getting a drink. Somebody who's sitting there taking a picture, snapshotting right now, it looks like I'm bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, but that's not really what I'm doing. All I'm doing is just getting a drink. And the Braisa says, and the Gemara's expressing, this is the Chiddush in the Braisa, Afal Pikin, even though that's true, it's Aser. Okay? The way the Gemara sounds, the way it's being presented, Maris Ein of Avodah Zarah is like Avodah Zarah.
Isn't that
Avodah Zarah? Right. Right, I've quoted this Rabbeinu Yonah a number of times already. Rabbeinu Yonah Pirkei Avos says that not only are you have to give up your life for the Gimel Chamuros, but Rabbeinu Yonah writes that even if it's a subcategory of the Gimel Chamuros, it's going to be it's part of it as well. Right, the Rabbeinu Yonah, I quoted this. This comes up by embarrassing somebody else. Right, embarrassing somebody else, you give up your life for. What? What do you mean? Because the Gemara says embarrassing somebody else is like killing them. So it's a subcategory of killing. So that's why Tamar says, I can't embarrass my father-in-law, right? Even though he impregnated me, even though the kid belongs to him, so I'll give up my life rather than embarrass him. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, because that's a subcategory of Ritzicha. So according to that Rabbeinu Yonah, this Gemara makes perfect sense. That even though bowing down to the idol when I'm not interested, it's just Mar Zion, but it's a subcategory of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Right, not all the Rishonim agree, and no, you. If this comes up, you come back to me. Okay.
You have a chance.
Not as Rayu's not the Rabbeinu Yonah is the extension.
Right, but this is even a bigger Chiddush though, because Mar Sinai is an Issedar Rabbanan. I mean, it's all right. It's just it's more. So Tzricha. Right. If that's what the Braisa says. The Braisa says if you can, right, turn your back to the Avodah Zarah. If there's a way you could do it where it doesn't look like you're bowing down the Avodah Zarah, that's fine. But a direct facing of the Avodah Zarah, that you can't do. And the Gemara is saying even if your life is in jeopardy. Pirtzu fos lamali. What about the kissing scene, which I wouldn't take out of the Braisa just because the imagery is fantastic. But why does the Braisa have it? It's a setup line. In other words, we do this sometimes in Mishnahs and Braisas. Sometimes the Mishnah or the Braisa will add a line just to get us to another point. So you're right. I know I can't kiss an idol just because I want to drink. Right? If bowing to an idol is prohibited, kissing it also is going to be prohibited as well. I knew that. It gets us to the next point of not drinking from the sewer because of sakana. Right, which is not an Avodah Zarah point, but still the Braisa wants to make it. My sakana aluka, sakana is aluka, it's some sort of leech. What's that thing that the worm that you that eats your
tapeworm.
Yeah, it could be a tapeworm maybe. And Tosus, by the way, you want to see a lovely description of this type of worm that you ingest. Tosus gives just a fantastic description. It's the second Tosus on the page, where he talks about what the leech does once it's inside of you. See Tosus. See Tosus for that lovely description. Tana Rabbanan, back to the Gemara, third line down. Lo yishta adamayim lo min ha'aretz v'lo min ha'agamim lo b'fiv v'lo b'yado achas. Don't drink from these from these bodies of water, rivers and swamps, and you can't do it by bending down and drinking directly from the water, and you can't do it with one hand. Rashi explains the one hand is because if you're just scooping it up with one hand, it's hard to cup your one hand. You're going to go directly into your mouth, and you're not going to take the time to look in terms of what's going on over here. The imshas adama b'rosho, and if you do, the Brisa says that's you're just
culpable.
Right. You're culpable. In other words, the fact that you're going to die, that's your fault. God's like, I have nothing to do with that one. That's you. Okay, and again, the Gemara repeats. If you swallow nima shomayim, again, we have that word nima. Nima over here means some sort of worm. And you're allowed to boil water on Shabbos. And you know, when I grew up and you watch television, you know, a woman's pregnant, you boil water. I have no idea why you boil the water, right? You always have that scene, you boil the water. Here also, in the Braisa, you swallow leech, okay, good, boil water. It just seems to be like the knee-jerk reaction to, like, whenever something's wrong, you boil water. Obviously, it's my ignorance, more than anything else, that I don't know how boiling water helps, but somehow boiling water helps. It's and you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Right, you're swallowing the boiling water.
I don't think it's turning it on.
Okay.
I don't know
the baby. You still don't know with the baby, right? Yes. Okay, good. Nima shomayim v'hitter Rabbi Necham. I'm sorry. Umayis be'achas shabala nima shomayim, and somebody swallowed it. V'hitter Rabbi Necham elahachem lochamim b'Shabbos, and Rabbi Necham said, "Yeah, go ahead." Adahachiv v'ahachem Amar Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua ligame chala, and then comes along Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua and says, "You know, vinegar also is good. Vinegar also will kill the worm." So Amrav Edi. By the way, just pause for just that point in the Gemara. Sounds like from this Gemara, this is another big issue that comes up also. In other words, there are two ways to deal with the worm. One was to heat up water, and the other one was to swallow vinegar. And the Gemara says, you know, go with the vinegar route because there's no Chil Shabbos involved. Right? On the issue of when someone's life is in jeopardy, should you try to minimize the Chil Shabbos? Gemara here is not saying it, but it sounds like from the Gemara that, yeah, you should. In other words, I have an option of either boiling water, which is somehow medicinal and therapeutic, or swallowing vinegar, and the Gemara seems to opt with the one that has less chilul Shabbos. Okay. Amar Vidi Barav and Haimai Dabala Zibur Mechai Elochai. What if you swallow a bee, right, a wasp, whatever this is? So the Gemara says, okay, you're not going to live. All right, that's not an option. However, Lishkai Rav Yasa Dechala Shemegas. I'm sorry, Shamgas Esha Dechaya Porta Ad Demafke Abese. But the Gemara says, I'll give you some advice in terms of how to just live a little bit longer. Swallow quarter log of vinegar. You may have a chance to go back home and to do it Sava, and to last will and testament. Don't drink water at night. If you do, once again, God says, that's your fault, that's not my fault. I didn't cause you to die, that was your own death. My sakana shavriri, huh?
Drink water at night.
At night.
From rivers.
My sakana shavriri, over here the Gemara says, the concern is shavriri. Rashi writes, shade hamemuna amalka sanverim. A demon that's appointed over blindness. Okay, Rambam, what does he do with these types of Gemaras? What he typically does with these types of Gemaras, I don't know. In other words, he probably would not explain Shavriri. It's a medical issue. The imtsachi maitakante. Okay, and what if you do? Iika, in other words, no, I'm sorry, not what if you do, sorry. What if you're thirsty? So it's nighttime, and you're thirsty and you want to drink. And so what do? If you have somebody else with you, so bring them along with you. As a rule, right, you see throughout the Gemara, demons don't attack two people. Demons go after one person by himself, but not two people. Okay, beginning of Brachos, we talk about that. The Elo, now what if you don't have somebody else with you? So how do you get rid of the demon? The Karkish Benachtama Achazva, bang the lid against the pot. Venema ilan avshe. And then you should say, Panaya ba panaya sa amalach emach is daher, right? So and so, son of so and so, I guess you're inserting your own name. Amalach emach was told by my mother, is daher mi shavriri, beriri, riri, yiri, riri, bikase chavre. Right? You understand what you're doing? You're taking the name of the demon and you just take off a letter, and by doing so, okay, this is all metaphysical. Right? Don't ask. And you are minimizing the demon by doing so, and the Brisa ends off. I'm sorry, that's not a Brisa. But the Gemara ends off by saying Bekase Chivre in white cups, meaning I'm not sure what that means. You put the word in white cups, I'm not sure. But this is a lechisha, this is some sort of incantation that gets rid of the demon. Okay. A strange way to end. But very strange way to end. Okay, so we talked about, all right, the first part of today's Gemara was talking about city and suburb and understanding the relationship between the proximity between the two, Rabbi Chanina, and the three ways to understand Rabbi Chanina's statement. And then we talked about Mar Sinai today, and we talked about the issue of Mar Sinai, and we talked specifically about Avizrau de Avodah Zarah. If it's a subcategory of Avodah Zarah, it seems like from the Gemara, Pashas in the Gemara, you need to give up your life for that as well. Okay, stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow from the new Mishnah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash, Ramat Zakash Baruch Hu, the Zak Yisrael Fiyach Achir, and Torah Mitzvah, Shana Marana, Chafetz Aman Tziko, Yagdil Tzor Avi Adir. Amen.